News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.
Hello and welcome to News 18's morning podcast, Daybreak. I am Pathikrit Sen Gupta. While there's understandably a pandemic of coronavirus-related news all around, let's have a listen to some other big stories. The government on Tuesday imposed a month-long moratorium on Lakshmi Vilas Bank, restricting cash withdrawals at ₹25,000 per depositor and simultaneously announcing a scheme to merge the cash-strapped lender with DBS India. This has been done on advice of the Reserve Bank of India in view of the private sector banks' deteriorating financial health. The RBI also superseded the LVB board and appointed T.N. Manoharan, former non-executive chairman of Canara Bank, as its administrator for 30 days. The RBI placed in the public domain a draft scheme of amalgamation of LVB with DBS Bank India Limited. In a statement, DBS Bank India said the proposed amalgamation will provide stability and better prospects to LVB depositors, customers and employees. To support the amalgamation, DBS will inject ₹2,500 crore into DBIL if the scheme is approved. This will be fully funded from DBS's existing resources, it said. LVB is the second private sector bank after Yes Bank to have run into rough weather this year. In March, capital-starved Yes Bank was placed under a moratorium and the government rescued it by asking SBI to infuse ₹7,250 crore and take a 45% stake in the bank. The Department of Financial Services in a Gazette notification said LVB shall not, without the permission in writing of the Reserve Bank of India, make in the aggregate payment to a depositor of a sum exceeding ₹25,000 lying to his credit in any savings, current or any other deposit account during the moratorium period up to December 16, 2020. However, the bank can make payments in excess of ₹25,000 to meet unforeseen expenses in connection with medical treatment of a depositor or any dependent person or towards the cost of higher education of the person or dependents. Besides, the RBI can permit the bank to disburse more than ₹25,000 for payment towards obligatory expenses in connection with marriage or other ceremonies or any other unavoidable emergency. The amount disbursed during the emergency situation shall not exceed the sum of ₹5 lakh or the actual balance lying to the credit of the account of such depositor, whichever is less, the notification said. Also, if a depositor maintains more than one account in the same capacity and in the same right, the total amount payable from all the accounts together cannot exceed ₹25,000. The RBI said LVB's financial position has undergone a steady decline, with the bank incurring continuous losses over the last 3 years. In the absence of any viable strategic plan, declining advances and mounting non-performing assets, the losses are expected to continue, it said, adding the bank has not been able to raise adequate capital to address issues around its negative net worth and continuing losses. The bank is experiencing continuous withdrawal of deposits and low levels of liquidity, as well as serious governance issues in recent times. The bank was placed under the Prompt Corrective Action Framework in September 2019 amid soaring NPAs. LVB shareholders in September had ousted 7 directors, including its MD and CEO, and auditors at the bank's AGM. The truncated board sought to assuage investors, stating that the bank's liquidity situation was comfortable and assured the depositors that their monies were safe. The bank's trouble started after it shifted its focus to lend to large businesses from SMEs. Its loans of nearly ₹720 crore to the investment arms of Malvinder Singh and Shivinder Singh, former promoters of pharma major Ranbaxy and Fortis Healthcare, against fixed deposits of ₹794 crore made with the bank in late 2016 and early 2017, also turned it turtle. LVB had sought the RBI's nod to amalgamate itself with Indiabulls Housing Finance and Indiabulls Commercial Credit in May 2019 to meet its capital requirements. However, the deal could not get regulatory approval because of the RBI's aversion to let realty-focused entities into commercial banking. On June 15, 2020, the bank had signed a preliminary non-binding letter of intent with Clicks Group for a possible merger. LVB posted a net loss of ₹836.04 crore in the year to March 2020. The bank had recorded a net loss of ₹396.99 crore during the second quarter ended September of this fiscal, up from ₹357.17 crore in the same quarter a year ago. Net NPAs or bad loans stood at 7.01% of the net loans at the end of September 2020, as against 10.24% as on March 31, 2020, and 10.47% by September 2019. Started by a group of seven progressive businessmen of Karur under the leadership of VSN and Ramalinga Chettiar in 1926, the bank had expanded with 566 branches and 918 ATMs in 19 states and one union territory. External Affairs Minister S. Jaishankar on Tuesday exuded confidence that ties between India and the US will expand further under Joe Biden's administration, noting that he was part of the period when bilateral relations underwent a radical transformation. As Vice President, we dealt with him. I happened to be the ambassador during the last phase of the Obama administration. We had known him earlier when he was in the Senate Foreign Relations Committee as the ranking Democratic member, and then as the chairman, Jaishankar said. The External Affairs Minister was speaking at an online discussion organized by leading think tank Gateway House. He, that is Biden, is very much part of this period when Indo-American relations underwent a radical transformation, which I reasonably date back to Bill Clinton's visit, Jaishankar said. Jaishankar said President-elect Biden is not a stranger to India or to the relationship between the two countries. I'm very confident that we will pick up where we left off. We have done that over the last four administrations. I think that will be the case as well here. And I also say that because within the American politics, it's not just that we deal with the administration of the day, we also tend to deal with the Congress, Jaishankar said. American politics, by its nature, has very strong elements of bipartisanship, he said. The Central Bureau of Investigation on Tuesday arrested a junior engineer of the Uttar Pradesh Irrigation Department for sexually abusing children for the last 10 years and selling videos of the acts on the darknet. Officials said the accused, identified as Ram Bhavan, was arrested from Banda and has victimized over 50 children in the age group of 5 to 16 in Banda, Chitrakoot, and other districts. Apart from the physical abuse of children, the accused was also allegedly recording the acts using mobile phones, laptops, and other electronic devices, said CBI spokesperson R.K. Gore. During searches, the CBI team recovered cash to the tune of ₹8 lakh, mobile phones, laptops, web cameras, and other electronic devices, including pen drives, memory cards, and several sex toys. Bhavan's email revealed that over the years he has been in contact with and has been sharing child sexual abuse material with users across the globe, using darknet and various social media platforms and websites. The investigation also revealed that he used to lure children with electronic gadgets. The CEOs of Twitter and Facebook on Tuesday defended their safeguards against disinformation in the presidential election and promised Congress they would take vigorous action for two special elections in Georgia that could determine which party controls the U.S. Senate. Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey and Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg told a hearing of the Senate Judiciary Committee they have strong programs in place to protect their platforms from being used to disseminate falsehoods or discourage people from voting in the Georgia elections. You have an immense civic and moral responsibility, Senator Richard Blumenthal, a Connecticut Democrat, told the executives. He said the actions the companies took to slow the spread of disinformation in the contest between President Donald Trump and Democrat Joe Biden were constructive. But Blumenthal said he was concerned they could let their guard down for the Georgia elections and fail to act against dangerous information. You have tried to slow its spread. That's not censorship, he said. But Republican senators, including Committee Chairman Senator Lindsey Graham, revived complaints of censorship and anti-conservative bias against the social media platforms and pushed for stripping away some of the protections that have shielded tech companies from legal responsibility for what people lost. I think there's Republican and Democratic concern about the power that's being used by social media outlets to tell us what we can see and what we can't, what is true and what's not, Graham said at the start of the hearing. Democrats also support curbing the long-held legal shield for tech companies, though for different reasons. They have focused their concern on hate speech and incitement on social media platforms that can spawn violence. President-elect Biden has heartily endorsed restricting the legal immunity for social media platforms under Section 230 of a 1996 telecommunications law. Graham and other prominent Republican senators have refused to knock down Trump's unfounded claims of voting irregularities and fraud, even as misinformation disputing Biden's victory has flourished online. Graham, a close Trump ally, has publicly urged, "Do not concede, Mr. President. Fight hard." Twitter and Facebook have both slapped a misinformation label on some content from Trump, most notably his assertions linking voting by mail to fraud. On Monday, Twitter flagged Trump's tweet proclaiming, "I won the election," with this note: "Official sources called this election differently." Dorsey testified that Twitter flagged some 300,000 tweets between October 27 and November 11 for content that was disputed and potentially misleading, representing 0.2% of all U.S. election-related tweets sent during the period. "We applied labels to add context and limit the risk of harmful election misinformation spreading without important context, because the public told us they wanted us to take these steps," he said. Of the labeled tweets, 456 also were covered by a warning message and were limited in how they could be shared. About 74% of the people who viewed those tweets saw them after a label or warning message was applied. Zuckerberg said Facebook joined with election officials to remove false claims about polling conditions and displayed warnings on more than 150 million pieces of content after review by independent fact-checkers. Facebook also prohibited misrepresentations about how or when to vote, as well as attempts to use threats on the pandemic to scare people into not voting, he said. Zuckerberg acknowledged that election interference remains an ongoing threat. Right, everyone, that's all for today, but we will be back again tomorrow with a fresh dose of news for you. In the meantime, don't forget to subscribe to the newsletter Daybreak at news18.com and do follow the website for more news and developments. Thank you for listening, stay safe, and have a very good day.
News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.